Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew, Bible teacher and pastor of Grace Valley Christian Center, located in Davis, California. Today, Pastor Matthew preaches part one of the message entitled, The Effectual Prayer. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to John 14. Now here is our Bible teacher, Pastor P.G. Matthew.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are good. You are great, you are compassionate, you are a savior, you are the judge, you are pervasively moral, you are light, there is no darkness in you. We praise you for saving us sinners by the atoning sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, whom we confess as our Lord. We pray now, O God, that you open our eyes, the eyes of our heart, that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. Teach us to pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We want to look at the theology of prayer according to the Apostle John. So we read John 14 and John 15 and John 16. But let me read also from his first epistle, 1 John 3, 21 and 22. Pay attention. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what is pleasing in His sight. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we possess what we asked of Him. Effectual prayer, friends, effectual prayer. Not a ceremonial, silly, superficial, non-substantial prayer. Effectual prayer, sir. What is effectual prayer, you ask? I mean prayer which God the Father and God the Son hear and answer. So let us look at the theology of prayer, effectual prayer, especially from the writings of St. John. In John 14 and 15 and 16, and 1 John 3 and 1 John 5, six times, friends, in these verses, we are taught to pray whatsoever we desire. It seems sky is the limit. It appears we can pray for anything we desire, and we would receive it. But if you read carefully, friends, you notice there are limits. Whatever is limited by a number of considerations. At least four of them I would like to place before you. First, we are to pray onomati mu in my name. That is, in the name of Jesus Christ. In fact, in St. John's Gospel, we find seven times in my name appears. Chapter 14, verse 13, 14, and 26. Chapter 15, verse 16. Chapter 16, 23, 24, and 26. Seven times. So apparently it is pretty important. So we want to look at what it means to pray in my name. We are to pray in the name of Jesus Christ only. This means all prayers not prayed in the name of Jesus only shall not be answered by our Heavenly Father. Prayers prayed in any other way are not prayers to God the Father or to God the Son, but they are prayers, we are told by St. Paul, to demons. 1 Corinthians 10:18 through 22. Consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? Do I mean then that a sacrifice offered to an idol is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have a part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than He? In other words, the prayers of the prophets of Baal were not heard. You are to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That means we have no right to appear in the presence of God in our own name. No, sir, you are to appear in the presence of God, not in our own name, because we are sinners in ourselves. We are under the wrath of God. We stand condemned in ourselves because of our sins. So what does it mean to come to the presence of God in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ? We come before God the Father in the name of another, in the name of our mediator, kinsman redeemer, in the name of our sinless sympathizing high priest, Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, that our prayers may be heard and answered, sir. Why, you ask? Because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who took away our sins once and forever. We come to God in prayer with the wedding garment of His perfect righteousness. If we come to His presence in our own name, rich people, educated people, as highborn, as church justices, in our own righteousness we shall be bound hand and foot and thrown into hell itself, sir. As we read in Matthew 22, verse 11 through 13. We come to God's presence in prayer, having our robes washed and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come in the name of Jesus Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. We come to God in His name, in His merit, confessing Jesus Christ is my righteousness, my holiness, my redemption. We have confidence, we have boldness, we have the right to enter the most holy place only by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us, the person of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Friends, in spite of the proliferations of myriads of religions and cults, Scripture, the Word of God, says salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by God by which we must be saved. Friends, one must come to the Father identifying oneself with Jesus Christ. One must come to the Father as a Christian, as one who believed on the name of Jesus Christ. To believe on his name means to entrust oneself to Jesus in loving, self-abandoning faith and trust. So we yield ourselves to be possessed by him in whom we believe. God does not hear the prayer of an unbeliever, nor a sinning Christian. In the name of Jesus is more than an appellation or a label or a formula. One must live his life in accordance with the person and work of Jesus. In other words, we pray in accordance with all that name stands for. In the name of Jesus means by the merits of Jesus, on the basis and ground of his atoning sacrifice. We come in the name of Jesus because the Father denies nothing to the Son. A request made in the Son's name is treated as if Son himself made it. So we do not pray for anything that the Son himself will not pray for. In the name of Jesus, friends, means we pray according to God's plan and purpose. We ask the question, what is God's plan? Especially in the interim of his ascension and second coming. And we are told his plan is the evangelization of the world and the building up of his church, making of disciples and teaching them. That's his purpose. And a prayer that is prayed to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ for the fulfillment of this purpose of God will be answered. In the name of Jesus means we bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord of our thoughts and word and deeds, friends. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ means we worship him as God. The Lord means God and Savior, prophet, priest, and king. You cannot receive him as Savior without receiving him first as Lord, God, and King of the universe and of your life. Pray in the name of Jesus is to pray, as I already said, as Jesus himself would pray. Not my will, but thine be done. Pray in the name of Jesus means to pray by his express authority. Pray in agreement with the Holy Scriptures. Our prayer should not lie outside of his name, his revelation, his will revealed in the Bible. You cannot pray if you are not a Christian. You cannot pray if you are a rebellious Christian. So what should we do? Repent and believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Then you can pray, friends, effectually. So then, whatever you may desire is given by in my name. Secondly, it is governed by Father's glory. Effectual prayer is the prayer a Christian prays in the name of Jesus, our petitions are limited by the name of Christ. Also, effectual prayer, are those prayers limited by the glory of God? The ultimate purpose of our prayer should be the glory of God. God is seen as He essentially is: glorious, majestic, radiant. In all His luminosity, He lives in unapproachable light. And every time we sin, we are attempting to decrease the glory of God. Friends, God is committed only for one thing. It's disappointing. I'll tell you that one thing is. But He is committed only for one thing: His own glory. The manifestation of His own glory. That creation declare the glory of God. Not only the heaven and the earth, but reasoning beings, angels, and humans. Creation must acknowledge the glory of God. Heaven and earth are to declare the glory of God. Remember Achan the thief? He was asked to give glory to God by confessing his sins and receiving the just divine punishment. And Isaiah 42 verse 8 says, I am the Lord. That's my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. Isaiah 43 verse 7, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created, here it is, for my glory, whom I formed and made. We are created by God for His glory. We are given existence and we are sustained by God that we may bring glory to His name. Isaiah 43 verse 21, the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise in their character, in their conduct. And St. Peter understood this, and he tells us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, but you, unlike the pagans, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, and the purpose that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. In saving, friends, in saving and in judging, in saving and in punishing, God receives glory. Pharaoh refused to honor the Lord. Remember, he questioned Moses, the ambassador of the Lord. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? The Lord heard it. It was a challenge. And the Lord showed up. The Lord visited him in His omnipotence, defeated Pharaoh and his gods, his chariots, his army, his firstborn. Did you say that? Who is the Lord? I'm here, sir. And let me tell you, every time we challenge God, He will show up. And He will confront us and defeat us. He must do so for His own glory, sir. And so we recently read Exodus 14. Let me read verse 4 and verse 17 and 18. Here is the Lord speaking. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh. And all his army and Egyptians will know that I'm the Lord. Friends, let me ask you, are you challenging God by defying His law? He will gain glory for Himself by defeating you. Either today or tomorrow, you have to meet with Him, not with me. Exodus 14, 17 and 18, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know. See, he wants Egyptians as well as the church to know that he is the Lord. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, his horsemen. You read Exodus 15, the Lord is a warrior. Let's say that together. The Lord is a warrior. And I say, the Lord fights. Let's say that together. The Lord fights. And the third, the Lord wins. Let's say it. The Lord wins. He's a warrior. He fights. He wins. Who are we but grass? Morning mist. Peanut-brained and nobody's clay dust. Empty nothing. And the arrogance of the Americans, the arrogance of the Europeans, and the arrogance of every man. That arrogance challenges the Lord, and he comes to deal with us. He is omnipotent God. He will not rest until he gains glory for himself. The ultimate purpose of our prayer has to be the glory of God. If the purpose of prayer is not God's glory, but our own pleasure, God shall not answer them. Such prayers are not effectual. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you, deceased to my Father's glory. Jesus taught us to pray. Prayer is based on relationship to the Heavenly Father. Only children come to Father's presence to pray. But God's child begins his prayer by praying, what, sir? Hallowed be thy name. May you be glorified, praised, obeyed, honored, worshipped. And your will be done in me, in my family, in the church, and in the world, as it is done in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, sir. That's the first petition of a true child of God. God's Son glorified his Father's name through his work. You can see that in chapter 13 of John and verse 31. And John 17 verse 1 and John 17 verse 4, take a look at it. That will tell you the purpose of your life. John 13 verse 31, when he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. John 17 verse 1. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. John 17, verse 4, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Obedience glorifies the Father. Jesus Christ glorified the Father. He never did one thing that displeased the Father. We follow his pattern. We live to glorify our Heavenly Father, that we could also say at the end of your life, I have glorified thee by doing your will. Never so perfectly. That is always true. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God, to obey God, exactly, immediately, and with gladness, that we may enjoy him, sir, him, not money, not position, not power, not gold, nor silver, not big houses, nice cars, him, sir, forever. Stephen was stoned to death. It was for God's glory. James was beheaded. It was for God's glory. Peter was crucified. It was for God's glory. Paul was killed by the sword. It was for God's glory. Jesus, the Son of God, was crucified for God's glory and for our eternal salvation, sir. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We are to deny ourselves, take up the cross daily, and follow Him. That we may glorify the Father and the Son. So Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God, for the honor of God. So when we pray, may our prayer be subordinated to God's glory. If our prayer is not for God's glory, let me tell you, it will not be for our happiness. It will be for our misery, our everlasting misery. May we determine this morning that we do not want from God anything that will not promote God's glory in my life and in this world. Number three, whatever you ask, is limited by our fruitfulness. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Fruit bearing, simply obedience to the will of God, is not optional. I was reading a good theologian. I know him. He preached in this place. And he says obedience is optional. I'm sure he changed his mind later on. But I was shocked when I read his writing that you can go to heaven without bearing fruit. This is called antinomianism. It is not optional. It is necessary evidence that God has united you with Christ. And you have truly entrusted yourself to Christ. That the grace of God and life of Christ flow into you. And it manifests itself in fruit. More fruit and much fruit. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done to you. This is my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Friends, Father is a gardener. In the Greek, his name is George. Father is George, means a farmer. He's the farmer. He planted us into Christ. We are united to Christ as branches to the vine. Branches bring forth fruit. Branches are pruned to bring forth more fruit and much fruit. We bring forth fruit through the life of Christ, through grace flowing into the branches, into us. Without Christ, we can do nothing that will glorify God. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling because it is God who works in us to will and to do His good pleasure. Indwelt by the Spirit of Christ, we bring forth fruit for the joy and glory of the Father who has planted us. Friends, He is visiting us. He is coming looking for what, sir? Fruit. He comes looking for fruit. When he finds plenty of fruit, he is overjoyed. He is very pleased. He is honored. He is glorified. That's the purpose of Christian life. What is fruit? Fruit of Christ-likeness. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Fruit of conforming to the image of Christ. Fruit of character, sir. Divine character. As well as fruit of conduct. Fruit of good works. We are God's workmanship, St. Paul says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that we should do them. Don't waste too much time trying to find out what fruit is. Simply obedience. Obedience to God's will. No fruit means no glory to God. Not a Christian, not a disciple. The trees have only what, sir? Leaves. Such people are self-centered. They are hedonists. They try and use God for their own glory in the world. Let me tell you, all those people who believe in Jesus Christ for health and wealth and power and fame, they have nothing to do with Christianity. St. James tells us, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your lusts. Thank God the economy is shrinking. I've been praying for it for some time. I didn't like it, but I've been praying for it. Somebody said, watch out for your prayer. You may get it. Is that what it is? Yeah. So here it is. Such fruitless trees are cut off. Such trees are cursed. Such fruitless branches are cut off, cast out, collected, and cast into fire by God. They are nominal Christians. They do not abide in Christ to obey Him. They are graceless. They are false confessors. They are lawless ones. They are antinomians to whom Christ would say on the last day, depart from me. Their prayers, friends, are ineffectual. It doesn't go beyond the ceiling. They are not heard. They pray with evil motives to spend on their own lusts. They do not pray in Christ's name. They do not pray for God's glory. They do not bear fruit unto God. They are not Christ's disciples. Friends, fruit is not for self. It is for God and it is for others. Fruit of character, fruit of conduct, and also fruit of converts. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Converts. Romans 1 verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have some fruit among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles fruit of character, conduct, as well as converts. And read Romans 15 verse 16. You have not chosen me. I have chosen you. In the New Testament times, the disciples chose the rabbi. But Jesus chooses his disciples. He owns them. Chose, appointed, and said, go, bring forth fruit. That fruit that remains. Make disciples of all nations. Friends, we have a responsibility through our life and proclamation that others may be brought to Christ, that they may remain real fruit. And so let there be a plague on church growth movement. Why? Because church growth movement means the gospel is not preached. They glamorize the gospel by rejecting sin and repentance and obedience and hell and judgment so that they can have people coming, sir. But let me tell you, their fruit shall not remain. It's a lot of promises, the blossoms go and nothing there. Fruit, sir, by abiding in Christ and obeying His words. John 15, 4 through 10, nine times we are told, abide in Christ. Nine times, sir. That must be very important then. Nine times, sir. Friends, faith in Jesus Christ always works, brings forth fruit. Believers obey Christ. Christianity without the fruit of obedience to Christ is a doctrine of demons. Only the good soil, which understood the true gospel, with patience brought forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Abide and bear fruit. Abide in Jesus. Hosea 14, verse 8 says this, your fruitfulness comes from me. Your fruitfulness come from me. St. Paul says in Romans 7, 4, so my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another church, the bride, belonging to the bridegroom, to him who was raised from the dead. Now, in order that we might bear fruit to God. Where grace flows, there shall be fruit. St. Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. I will read one more verse and then we will resume this evening. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. 21 and 22, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receives from him anything we ask because we obey his commands. We keep on obeying his commands in the present tense and we keep on doing what pleases him. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the glory of God. We pray having brought forth fruit. And we will discuss this further this evening. Shall we rise? Heavenly Father, deliver us from phony, inauthentic Christianity. Deliver us from American variety of Christianity. Deliver us from church growth type of Christianity. Deliver us from health and wealth type of Christianity. Help us, O Lord, to be an authentic Christian who prays to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ, having produced fruit, more fruit and much fruit. Praying to God the Father for the sake not of our glory but his own glory. It is his commitment that he will be glorified by creation. And help us, O Lord, to glorify you all the days of our lives. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Grace and Glory Audio of the sermon entitled The Effectual Prayer Part 1. Come back soon for more transforming Bible teaching from Pastor P.G. Matthews.